Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about on a topic that was brought to us by a listener and our good friend from England.
From England.
Dennis. Yeah. We're going to talk about psychometric tests.
Yeah, in a way I was sorry to hear about this because it means this whole testing movement has crept into the United Kingdom.
Yes.
You know, we're not the only ones who have this penchant. Although he talks about psychometric tests that are used in the workplace.
Right.
Not in schools.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about use of psychometric tests in schools.
I have to say that, you know, there's a couple of things that we want to sort of clear out but as we're getting started. And the first thing is, you know, when it comes to, well, even the word psychometric.
Right.
It's a fancy word.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk very quickly about sort of the different ways in which we think about what psychometric
right.
means.
Mm-hmm.
In test development, psychometric refers to sort of the properties of a test that are consistent with how reliable it is, how valid it is, you know, the usefulness of
right.
a test.
Right.
And so when I teach test and measurements and assessment mm-hmm. and things like that, we talk about the psychometric properties of a test as it relates to the reliability or consistency of a test.
Right.
Does a test provide consistent results over a mm-hmm. period of time? And the validity of the test, does the test actually measure what it
right.
purports to measure?
Right.
And we often think about psychometric properties from those perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, we have really attacked isn't the right word. It's a little bit of an aggressive word. We have challenged some of the tests that we use in children that you mentioned, tests in schools. We have challenged those in previous podcasts because we think that the psychometric properties of some tests that we use in schools are questionable.
Questionable. That's right. Because in the most general definition, psychometrics is simply, metric means measure.
Right.
So you're measuring mental functions.
Right.
You're measuring psychological functions.
Right.
And if you're going to do that, you want to make sure that the test is, that the test measures what it says it measures.
Right.
You know, if I'm measuring reaction time, that does this test really measure reaction time? And then the other issue is reliability, and that is if I measure reaction time and get one result and you measure reaction
mm-hmm.
time, you should get exactly the same result.
Right.
Or if I measure it today or I measure it a year from now,
right.
we should get the same result.
Right.
And so if we're going to measure human functions, we want to make sure that we are, in fact, measuring that function
mm-hmm.
and that it's reliable. And the reason is because when we measure human functions,
mm-hmm.
those results are used for
right.
important decisions.
Right.
And that's the issue,
right.
is that when we test people, we're going to use those results to select people for jobs,
mm-hmm.
to promote children to the next grade, to hold
right.
children back in a
mm-hmm.
grade. These are very, very important life-changing decisions.
Right.
So we want to make sure that if we're going to measure these abilities and use them for important decisions, that their psychometric properties are very sound.
Right.
Okay. Their reliability and validity
right.
are very sound.
Yeah. And so we look at those and we examine the reliability and validity of different tests to make sure that they're useful, you know, simply from a clinical perspective. We're not even thinking about massive decisions,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
from a clinical perspective, if we first see a patient that seems to have some depression and we give them a depression rating scale the very first
right.
time we meet with them, and then we do therapy over a period
mm-hmm.
of time or they take medication over a period of time
right.
and we want to see if that medication is
mm-hmm.
beneficial,
okay.
we will give that same test again
mm-hmm.
After a while, a few months or so,
right. mm-hmm.
to see if there's any change. And that sort of assumes that, you know, if all other conditions are maintained
right.
constant or
mm-hmm.
similar
right.
across time, any differences between those two tests would suggest that it was the treatment that caused effective. The difference.
Right.
So we use reliability and validity, whether it's clinically, research, that's educationally, right. mm-hmm. occupationally, as you said. And so they're used all over the place,
that's
all
right.
the time.
That's right. And so we have to make sure, because of the important decisions we make,
right.
that the tests are really, what we say, robust or,
right.
or effective.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this article from our friend and colleague, from PsychReg, is about using these tests in a workplace. In our country, we do use tests in a workplace.
Right.
We test people. And what Dan, the issue he raises here is that if people have test anxiety,
right.
you know, they can do very well in the interview.
Right.
They can pass everything else. But if a person has test anxiety and doesn't do well on the test,
yeah.
then while the test isn't the most important part of the process,
right.
It could cost the person a job. And then
right.
he sort of talks about that. In fact, he mentions he gets a little nervous, he gets a little anxious when he's taking tests.
Right.
You know? And so we have to be mindful that it is only one of many measures. In our country today,
right.
we have gotten ourselves, I think we've painted ourselves into a very damaging corner, in that you can have a student who does well for 10
all
years,
right.
11 years of
yeah.
school, passes courses, does okay in all the classes, is really a good student, but because they don't pass the test
right.
in 10th or 11th or 12th grade, they won't get a high school diploma.
Exactly.
We know people, I know kids in high school right
yeah.
now who are 2 or 3 or 4 points away from passing the test. That person is not going to get a high school diploma,
right?
Despite the fact that she's been a successful student for 12 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty, well, that's what we call high stakes testing.
It's high. That's why it's referred to as high stakes testing. Right.
So, you know, certainly when it comes to educational testing, there are lots of different ways to practice those things. There's lots of different
that's
ways
right.
to mm-hmm. get exposed to some of that stuff. But I think that what Dan provides in this article mm-hmm. and what we will refer you to in just a
right.
moment is, you know, some resources that you can explore
right.
that will help you, you know, practice some of these things so that it decreases some of the anxiety
right.
when you're taking it. You know, I remember I was telling a person about this the other day. When I was probably 16, 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
I was going for a job at Walmart and
yeah.
at that time, I don't know if they still do, but at that time, they required you to take a test.
Right.
You had to
they
take
do.
like a mm-hmm. little bit of a personality type test.
Right.
And I remember one of the questions was, you know, do you know anyone who's ever stolen from a store? Or anyone who
yeah.
shoplifts?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I answered honestly, yes.
I, do. Mm-hmm.
I don't know of many people who could honestly say no to that you don't know anyone who's,
right.
you know, ever stolen. So I said yes. And I remember them pulling me into the office afterwards. You know, all of your tests was great and everything, but we have a question. We have a concern about this one question.
Right.
And that is, well, now I know that is a very a massive misuse of those kinds of tests, because
right.
you never make decisions based upon, first of all, you never make a decision based upon a single test.
On a whole test, let alone one question.
Let alone one question.
Right.
Now, I did get the job.
Did you get?
I did get the job.
Right.
But
because you lied to them afterward.
I lied. I said, I thought that's what you wanted me to say.
Right.
No. But, you know, I did get the job. It was at that time that I worked at Walmart. I ended up working at Walmart a couple of times, but that time was a really lousy time to work at Walmart. Made some good friends, but they had us doing some rough work. But that's not the purpose of this podcast for me to relive
periodically
the PTSD of
Dr. work. Bernie takes us to places that we least expected to go.
Man, manager made us work out in the pit out back. It was in the middle of summer in Florida, humid and
like today.
Hot
and humid today.
Oh, it's terrible.
So
I should have lied.
Misuse
on my
of
test.
A test.
Yes. What?
Okay.
What?
So our tests are being misused. But as Dan suggests, if you do have test anxiety,
right.
and if you are worried, if you or a child, if you have test anxiety and you're applying for a job and you want to get some sense of what's going to be asked on these tests,
mm-hmm.
He provides them. Now, these are tests that are typically done in the United
right.
Kingdom. But we have a similar practice sites
right.
that we can go on. Now, you know, in medical schools, students, as they proceed through medical school and residency, take practice tests. They right. take tests similar yeah. to the boards.
Well, there's practice so SAT they get, tests.
And yeah, you yeah. get used to the kinds of questions, mm-hmm. and so you can reduce your anxiety by practicing these mm-hmm. things. Now, the other side of that coin is that there are parents who go onto websites to practice IQ tests.
Right.
And there are, and I would use the word unscrupulous, websites who actually give answers to questions that appear on IQ tests.
Right.
So that, and so, well, why would you want to do that? Well, if you want to get your child into a gifted program, mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. to, the child has to be able to generate an IQ score of 130 or above. Mm-hmm. And if your child is 125, you may be tempted to go onto these practice mm-hmm. websites. I've tested children who come in, and just as soon as they see the picture, they know the answer, even before I ask the question.
Right.
And it was very clear that they had yeah. practiced on that test.
Right.
Because as soon as I flipped the page, the child pointed to the correct response.
Right.
Which means she had practiced with the very right. test that I was administering.
Yeah.
So I had to retest her right. at another time. Fortunately, everything worked out in her case, but... mm-hmm. psychologists around the country are worried about these practice test sites for those kinds of tests.
Right.
For these other things like the SAT, the mm-hmm. GRE, the ACT, I think it's perfectly okay to get a
Absolutely.
Sense of what's on the test before you sit to take
Absolutely.
It. You know,
Absolutely.
The law school aptitude test, the medical school. You know, what are these tests like? What kind of questions do they ask? That'll reduce you, and at the very least, it reduces your anxiety.
Right. Now, in addition to the link to Den's article from PsychReg, mm-hmm. we're also providing a link to the name of this organization is tough for me, so I have it up on the screen so I can read
right.
it. Partnership for Assessment of Reading.
right.
See, Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers. So it's prcconline.org.
prcconline.org. And that's not an endorsement.
Right, right.
This happens to be one that pops up quickly. I'm going to have to do more research about PARC because
right.
I don't know exactly what PARC is. It bills itself as a collaborative mm-hmm. among educators and state departments of education, and that they are giving practice for Common Core, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Common Core curriculum.
Right.
But it's so I have to see exactly what this organization is. So
right.
again, it's not an endorsement,
right.
but they do have a number of practice tests. In fact, one of the things you can find on this website are actual test questions from last year's
right.
Common Core assessment.
Okay. Which is nice.
Right. So again, if your children are a little anxious about these tests, you might want to let them mm-hmm. practice a little
right.
bit at home so that, and especially if they're taking the online version.
Right.
Because the online version is a little trickier,
right,
and kids can have trouble with that. So we don't endorse this, but we want you to be aware that this site exists, and it could be useful.
Right, mm-hmm. absolutely. So, all right. Now, I think that's it for today.
That's it. Right.
But there is one more thing. That was a trick
I
for you.
I knew it.
That was a trick for you.
I
our friend Den right. Has, for our UK listeners, mm-hmm. we have a contest going on. And so you can follow us on Twitter. It's PsychReg Podcast.
Right.
You can follow us on Twitter, and we have a contest going on with Lumie, Lumie.
Right.
It is a light therapy.
Light. Light.
Yeah.
Light.
And they are giving away going to give away a light unit for the winner.
Right.
And but you'll have to go to. You'll have to follow us on Twitter and check out podcast.psychreg.org, you know, for more information.
You have to follow us on what?
Twitter. Because our podcast has a Twitter account, even though everyone on our podcast doesn't have a Twitter. You mean make you a Twitter account? That's it. I'm going to make one.
No.
I want to
win one of these.
Yeah. I think it's really neat.
Right.
I've been looking through it and
mm-hmm.
Because they help with seasonal affective disorder, they help with
right.
You know, I really like the alarm clock.
I do too.
That is a really cool.
Wake you up now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
I want to wake up light from Lumi.
That's right. So cool. Check that out. Follow us and learn more about it so that you can get your name in.
Right.
Write us a review, comment on the podcast and everything, and stay in touch.
Right.
So,
right. Love
all
to
right.
hear from you.
And we'll give you more information about Lumi. I think it goes through the end of May. So it's
through the month of May.
Yeah, through the month of May. So
okay, good.
All right. So until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
See? Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.